Welcome to Kaput Radio. I'm Martin. Today I present a collection of interviews about hippies, strongly represented in my hometown Nimbin, Eastern Australia. I was asking myself, how to define a hippie? Can there be any hippies in 2015? Are hippies relevant to contemporary issues of the world? Please enjoy my stroll around the place and hear what they are saying, these old hippies.
Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, Mark.
I heard you were here a long time. You have noticed this is the country of hippies, formerly known.
Formerly known as.
But yeah. That goes back about 40 years or so now. I was wondering whether the hippies still exist. What your thoughts are about that?
I guess there's a lot of competing narratives about that in Nimbin that I see. One, I think, are people who are kind of still holding on to the flame of sort of 73. But I think that I would see a hippie as, I kind of politicise it a little bit more, and while still adhering to those kind of radical values, I'd be thinking that really, if you're a hippie, you have to be somebody who is sees yourself in kind of conflict with the dominant neoliberal policies that are that we're kind of living under, and somebody who is subscribing to a kind of do-it-yourself ethic, that political change has to come from the ground up, it doesn't come from the top down.
Right. There are some people who make a big distinction between the Aquarius movement and the general hippie thing, which is a global phenomenon, actually.
Yeah.
What do you think that the values have changed in the meantime over that period?
I think the values have changed, I think if you are somebody who kind of is trying to still embed the kind of Aquarius culture in contemporary life, you're really on a hiding to nothing, because regardless of the importance of the kind of Aquarius festival and the kind of radical change that it brought to the area, and it's important culturally and historically in Australia, it was essentially quite a sexist sort of movement, and there are a lot of values within it sort of sexually and politically that one could kind of problematise and say, well, you know, those aren't really appropriate anymore. But I think we can certainly take the sort of values of opposition to kind of dominant paradigms and kind of embrace those and kind of transform them into something else. It's not 1973. And I think we really have to remember that if we try and make it 1973, the neoliberals are going to win every single time.
Mm. I mean, I can recall it was also a movement against consumerism at the time.
Yeah.
Do you think that has changed or is still prevalent?
That's a really good question, because I think consumerism now is probably a lot more complex a phenomenon than it was then. And the way that sort of neoliberal capitalism works is it works not just by forcing you to do things, but by seducing you into doing things.
Yeah.
And it's become, and it makes everybody complicit. And these days, I think it's much more difficult to engage in radical action without still being complicit in some ways. I think in 1973, the battle lines were a lot clearer. It was very easy to say that, you know, we're on the side of good and these guys are on the side of bad and there's nothing between us, whereas I think the battle lines these days are a bit greyer, because it's very hard to still engage in radical political action but still not be engaged by capitalism in some way. Everybody is now, and we have to acknowledge that.
Last but not least, drugs.
Drugs.
So the prerequisite to use drugs as to be a hippie?
It probably was once, wasn't it? Because it was a kind of a marker of kind of anti-authoritarianism, and also a marker of your desire to expand your mental psychological horizons. But these days, smoking pot particularly is taking some hallucinogens is a much more mainstream activity. Then it was an indicator of where you stood in the margins. Now it's kind of really much more kind of bourgeois practice of consumption. And being kind of pro-drugs has kind of served its purpose politically, I think, because it points to a lot of problematising of the war on drugs and so on. But it's certainly not an essential for you to be a political activist or a radical in some way.
When you have CEOs from leading companies having a smoke, a bit of a contradiction in terms.
Look, even Obama said he used to smoke, and that was the whole point, was inhaling and so on and so forth. Everybody does it now. It's not it's not a marker of anything at all.
Have you got any sort of inkling of an idea of what will replace, what is the new movement for the young people coming out now? Is there any?
No, I think there is. I mean, I think that, Again, there's always going to be young people who are kind of sort of resisting and those who aren't. I think to be a kind of young person trying to be politically active today is much more difficult than it was when I became politically active in the late 1970s. It's just much harder now. Young people have it sort of a lot tougher. It's harder to survive financially. It's just being a young person is a much more marginal activity than it used to be. And I think it's quite easy for people of my generation, or even the generation before me, the Aquarius generation, to say that young people aren't as radical as we used to be, or as active, or whatever. I don't think that's true. I think young people are actually just have it actually more difficult.
And the background is not just the universities any longer, isn't it?
No, that's exactly right. Mm. I mean, the Aquarius Festival was born out of the universities. It was funded by the National Union of Students. And that's not the case anymore, because universities are much more conservative places than they used to be, where activism just isn't encouraged anymore. So, you know, which means that the movement of resistance by young people is much more diverse now. I mean, Occupy was a young people's kind of movement, and it was probably a lot more diverse than the Aquarius Festival was.
Well, Blockupy was just recently in Frankfurt.
That's right. Yeah,
and it showed some 10,000 people gathering actually in the end. You know.
Yeah,
that's quite impressive.
I think that young people are sort of doing their best to resist with what they have. As I say, I just think it's a lot more difficult now and a lot riskier as well, because the laws that various governments across the Western world are imposing to kind of criminalise dissent and so on make it actually much more difficult.
And so also, finally, the environment seems to be now in the focus and a fairly urgent issue, really.
Yeah, well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, you know, when I was at uni, the environment certainly wasn't such a kind of critical issue. It was one of a range of issues amongst a whole range of issues that we felt we needed to be concerned about. But these days, it's kind of rising to the top of the list as kind of number one, because if we don't have a sustainable environment, we don't have anything at all. And the battle against the 1% is to get them to kind of understand that even the 1% can't survive. There's no planet for them to live on. And that's the kind of madness that the kind of 1% engage in. They think that they can actually exist outside and the biosphere.
Well, Stephen, that's very kind of you to give us a personal impression on the topic. I'm trying to get sort of an assessment about what's going on in Limbin. And it's so overlaid with tourism that it's very hard to really get back to the original intentions.
Well, Limbin's a really diverse place, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know... It's, it's sort of polylingual. There's people probably from a couple of dozen sort of countries, you know, speaking that sort of many languages. There's people with an enormous range of kind of skills and experience and so forth. You know, Nimbin's definitely probably a much more diverse place than it was when the Aquarius Festival certainly kicked off. So,
all right,
no problems.
Thank you very much.
It's okay.
Overland in 1964.
Yeah,
from
England. Right. Were the hippies in England there existed? Did they exist?
There were no hippies then.
No.
The idea wasn't even
right.
There. But, so, like, you know, they like that hippie trail.
Yeah.
Well, that was before that time.
Well, then we had actually a society which had some niche left to drop out, tune in, and so forth.
When I was a kid, you know, I was probably about 10 or something, I was in the middle of London and I saw this beatnik. Man, that look really spun me out. You know, this guy with bare feet and all black and beard. And,
which was the preceding.
Oh, this is in the 50s, you know.
Yeah.
And, it's sort of like, I don't know, it changed me somehow to see that, you know, there was a difference with people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like people were pretty straight in those days.
Well, I wonder what the young people today think of it, you know.
I mean, you've got enough examples in Nimbin for people who have dropped out.
Are they hippies? That's the question. Is that really definable?
Oh, God. I mean, the thing is that we've all moved on, you know, and so maybe the values that we originally... I mean, I didn't come here in 73. I came in 83, I brought the chai tent here, and you know, like a ball, you know, just working.
But that's sort of going on the values issues, no? The values of the hippies then.
Yeah.
Anti-consumerism. Is this still possible, actually? You know.
I think a lot of people still feel those things. I mean, you only have to look at the way people reject society. They don't want a lot of that stuff. Sure. We've all got our iPhones or, you know, our laptops.
And obviously the environment is taking a much more dominant issue these days than it was then.
I really only became involved in the environmental stuff probably in the... I was a dairy farmer down in Victoria, and there was a environment group in a tiny little village I used to go to, and then... there was this issue with a guy setting up a beef feedlot, and so we formed an environment group in Sale in what had been about 74 or something like that. That's only the time when the hippies were really getting their stuff together, you know.
What about drugs? It was a prerequisite then, or it was claimed to be one. You know, that definitely has changed, isn't it?
Why has it changed?
I mean,
what do you see in them?
See, old smoking pot. You know?
Oh, like everybody, the whole of society.
It can't be really the defining point any longer.
No. I mean, sure, people were getting out of it, and it was part of it, you know. But, you know, like it's, like I say, we've all shifted, you know, our values... now very, very different.
I just wonder, when I go to Nimbin, I see a lot of Asian people, a lot of Polynesian people, Aboriginal people. You know, they weren't hippies then in the 60s.
No.
So that must have sort of spiraled outwards.
Yeah, well, you've got to remember that, like, everybody came through Asia.
Yeah.
Everybody went to Asia to get their drugs in some ways, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's got to spin off in all directions, you know. Like, societal stuff is like that, you know. Like, the whole of I've just been to India again for the first. Well, I went there 50 years ago. You know, when I came overland. You know, and
where about?
I went across.
Just personal interest.
Yeah, like I went. I came in through Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Oh, the old trail. The
yeah, but
magic
I was creating
bus,
it, mate. The magic I was doing
bus,
it long before that.
No, but that's what's been picked up by the magic bus
from
Holland starting or Amsterdam starting. Anyway. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Contributions. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a lovely day.
Yeah, okay.
I grew up without any exposure to hippies.
But you are one now, are you?
Yes. All I knew was the Beatles and John Lennon and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's where I got it. It's not necessarily really from my environment. I was unaware of any people being...
Well,
hit.
Many people came from the urban background then, you know.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether it's possible to actually retain the values, like, say, the low consumerism or anti-consumerism stance of the times then.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still possible, actually, you know?
Yeah, I think it is. If you look here in this environment, then you can tell that many people are actually doing it. But then again, it seems that the second generation, let's say, the children of the hippies, they are much less hip in many cases.
In what way have they changed?
They seem more conservative and more conforming the national or the more general social rules and norms.
Right. But we do have still open-air music festivals and gatherings these days, so some of the things have trickled down and through, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely, but it seems like most of the young hippies are not children of hippies, but they are people who found happiness by themselves.
But they are actually sort of sharing.
They're still carrying the torch,
strong environmentally representing the environment in some form or another. I just wondered whether 2015, at this year, for instance, it can be still lived or, you know, or propagated in any form, you know. So anyway,
I think it is going through a revival. Even if you look at things like spirituality and health food and all these kind of things, they are blooming.
Yes. And what do you think of Nimbin as a locality for? As I said earlier, we have got all these multicultural things now, Aboriginal people as well in it. That wasn't the case.
Well, if you walk around in Nimbin, you might get the impression that it's dying out because I think the average age of the hippies in Nimbin is very high. And like you say, the tourists, they come and they corrupt and
commercialize. It's probably high everywhere in the world.
I think if you look in cities, then what you would call hippies is people in their 20s. They go to trans parties and things like this.
A good point. Thank you. If you're going to San Francisco,
hippies is really only alternative consciousness, alternative to straight capitalist, middle of the road political thinking, which is stale and so last millennium. The hippie thing really only came on in the last 20 or 30 years of the last millennium, but it's signalling a change in consciousness, an alternative to the status quo. And although they seem to be rather radical people, they're not really. They love the planet first. They love the Earth. They're conservationist. They're open-minded. And they are not driven by a monotheistic God consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was just hinting at it, you know. It was also in the old days, it was mostly recruited from student movements and from student
Well, traditionally, the world over, the students are the ones who think radically.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it started there.
Now, here locally in Nimbin, we have a multicultural situation where Asians are part of it. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, look at the market here. There are three or four Japanese couples that work here. There are Germans, as you know, and we welcome it. We welcome it. Cultural diversity. The Fermentation Festival a few weeks ago had three different nationalities speaking, and they all brought their incredible cultural food history with them. So it's a wonderful thing. I remember the 60s in Australia, and you could go to a chew and spew in the country, and that was all. You'd just get a Chinese restaurant somewhere and nothing else. Then the Greeks came, and now every small and large town has a whole range of culinary diversity. It's great.
Some things must have changed because drugs, for instance, which was in the beginning, as far as I remember, was it a matter of expanding one's consciousness and growing inside? You know?
Well, we still think that that's the case, but it's an illusion.
No,
it's an escapism.
Mainstream.
That's all it is. Yes, but it's an escape from an obviously hypocritical and damaged world that we want to get into another space. And
so that's not defining it any longer.
No.
And what about sort of the sharing, caring, open-air music festival gatherings and all these things? They have grown.
Well, they have. I mean, I work at Woodford Folk Festival, which is one of the biggest folk festivals in the world, and they're very egalitarian in the way they work. And they're successful because of that, because people can see, they can judge, and they can see how this is run. It's run on a very fair and open basis, and it works well.
Well, I'm impressed by your...
Don't be impressed, mate. Well, I just think
You made videos and movies about it. So that's very interesting for my listeners to get a first-hand impression from this. The last point I was thinking of, 2015, are there any niches left where hippies can actually start up and become part of the movement? Is it all to the max...
It's pretty much in terms of where to live. That's really up to the individual and how they choose to change the society or contribute to the society that they're in. But we're standing in this community hall here, which has now got a big veranda around it and a concrete slab, and we have a farmer's market, and we've got a ceramic studio built up the back. And it was a community hall, and now it's a it is a true community asset at a dozen different levels. Mm. And you can hear the background noise going on here, and this is a thriving, community asset. No, and so that attracts more and more interesting young people here. And so it's, I think it will continue to grow and consciousness will continue to change. It's just so fucking slow. That's my bother.
Right. You're a long time in it, Paul, are you?
Yeah, been here 40 years.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution.
That's all right, Martin. You're welcome.
We skip the life fandango. Turned cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick.
Are hippies still existing? Is this possible?
Yeah, I'm one myself.
Can you tell me how you became a hippie?
Yeah.
When it started for you?
I can tell you there was a very day and an exact time I became a hippie in my life. I'd grown up in brutality till the age of 15. I used to go to this place, well, many places, where all the gangs hung out and beat the crap out of everyone, including me. I eventually got an opportunity to join these gangs after years and years, not realizing that I had to just give a cigarette and a couple of bob to the leader of the gangs. They put their hand on my shoulder. Suddenly I could dance with the girls. I could have a free time without being beaten up or without being hurt.
I suppose this was somewhere else in Australia.
In London.
In London.
I'm Irish, grew up in London.
Right.
So, here I am in the middle of Oxford Street in Tiles, now in with the gang after all these years.
Yeah.
Now that I was in with them, I couldn't stand the fact that they were going around beating people up constantly,
and now I was
part of it. So I walked out of this place this evening and I thought, well, fuck it. If I'm going to have to be on my own, because all I knew was the gangs and the working class sort of stuff. How are you, my dear? I'm in the middle of a... Yeah. Yeah, so... So I walked out of that place that night and I thought, fuck it, walked down Oxford Street, turned the corner, saw my first hippies. All that beautiful stuff, they used to wear the long clothes and all the beautiful satins and silks, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I'd walked into heaven, actually, from all I was used to, skinheads and, you know. Saw these people. And I was just stood there watching and I thought, my God, this is unbelievable. Who are these people? What are these people? Round the corner comes some of the gang to the 24-hour cafe right next to where these people, who in fact, they were going down into a place they were calling Middle Earth to have a dance and have a whole night happening with acid and all the other stuff people used to have in those days. The minute I saw the gang, I thought, oh my God, because I knew...
Yeah,
I was seeing beauty, but I knew they were seeing poofters and all the rest. Yeah, So straight over to the people lining up to go in, the gang. And it was always this funny little scenario with the gang. The little guy had to be the one with the can of coke pushing people in the chest. And then if you reacted in any way, which you'd have to react because you get worse and worse and worse, then they all jump at you and they beat you up.
So the mob... coming all the way.
So instead of just going and beating you up, there had to be a little scenario to make it okay almost, you know. Anyway, my heart just dropped. And all I'd known up to that point in my life was anything beautiful was squashed straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all I knew. So I stood there and I looked up to the heavens and I just said, if there is any goodness in this world, and I haven't seen a great deal up to this date, could I please see it now? Please help these people. Out of the 24-hour cafe come the biggest man I ever seen in my life, dressed in leathers. Walked over, without saying a word, to these guys who were pushing the hippies. Took the can of coke out of the little bloke's hand, threw it on the ground and stamped on it. The little skinheads looked up at this big bloke. He looked down at them. Not a word was said. The skinheads disappeared around the corner back to whence they came, never to be seen again. Mm. He jumped on his motorbike and left without saying a word, and I jumped on the end of that queue. And 50 years later, I'm still in the queue, still on the hippie bus.
So your signal to the heavens or wherever it
And
worked.
It was the best decision I ever made in my whole life.
So you associate peaceful behavior and sharing and caring as one of those values.
It was the only thing I had ever seen. Yeah. And my first sojourns into Middle Earth to these people, when they actually offered me hands of friendship,
and things like that, your joint or two, I was too scared to actually take them, because what I was used to is someone offers you something, you put your hand out and the gang jumps on you and kicks the crap out of you.
Yeah.
So I went around for the first few months in fear until I learned that these people weren't there to hurt me.
It's strange in Europe. It seemed to be in Europe and America a lot happening at the time.
Yeah, well, it came from America and they were the first hippies and I just loved it. So that would have been 1966. Yeah, I was about 15 at the time, and I've never looked back.
Anyway, that's a great anecdote you're sharing here.
Yeah, so there was an actual time and a place that I became a hippie. And I left the gang warfare behind, and after a month, I'd left my family home, left all the working class brutality behind, never got involved in it again.
What do you think of Nimbin here as a locality of an expression of hippies? There are now Asian people, Polynesian people, Aboriginal people. Is this an after effect? Is this a second generation? Or are they hippies or are they not?
You're saying there are Asian people and
Japanese people.
Yeah, everyone's getting involved in it, aren't they?
People.
Initially, it was a purer thing where we just wanted to get out of the city, come into the country and enjoy the beautiful life.
Once we came out and dropped out and tuned in,
we discovered that the country had been totally polluted, totally poisoned.
So then there was an environmental crisis.
Oh, my word, there was. Yeah. We didn't even realize until we were here, and we couldn't swim in this dam, you couldn't swim in that creek.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to be careful of this, you've got to be careful of that. And then we're only here a couple of years, and they wanted to cut the rainforest down. So instead of ending up being the real peaceful hippies, we've ended up now becoming protesters and all the rest. Politicized, really. And that's what we wanted to get away from. So at this stage of my life, I've given it all up again, and I'm now going back to the original ideas of just being here in the moment in this beautiful peace.
Thank you. Thanks for your contribution. Listeners appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Are you a hippie?
I don't go by labels, really, but...
But you are here around Nimbin for a while, so what do you think, the hippies are still alive, or the whole thing died away, or what's your impression?
It's a pretty hard fight, you know, when you're not fighting. So to not fight and win a war is a very difficult thing, hey?
Well, the hippies were never really fighting, were they? Or?
No, we were just being, but that was seen to be against the law, just to be.
Oh, the drug thing, the drug issue.
Oh, no, just a freedom issue, that you don't want to walk the same talk as anybody else, that you want to actually be a diverse, original person.
You remember, early on you were talking about Vietnam War and all that sort of stuff in Afghanistan following then later on. There was a bus going from Amsterdam. Remember that? The magic bus.
I was never on it.
That was the hippie transport
thing. Mm.
Yeah.
I made it to India, but no, never went to Afghanistan. No.
Have you met hippies in India?
Oh, a lot of different type of people in India, Some hippies, some people say they're hippies, but they just rip off and not real good. But I think basically at heart, they want to be good people and want to care about everybody, you know, to have a good, safe world, a world with a future.
I suppose India is capable of absorbing everything, including hippies.
Except pollution. Everything except pollution, there's too much of it,
But that was an issue already with the hippie movement then, the environment became actually a focal point. Anyway, I just was curious whether you had any thoughts, what is a hippie today, how to define one?
The acid is not good enough anymore. The acid is not good enough. The acid is not good enough.
Thank you.
Give us something better.
Thanks for listening, folks. You heard in the beginning Stephen Wright, a regular contributor to the Overland Literary Journal, available on the net as overland.org.au. Then later in the third take, we heard Paul Tate sharing his opinion. Paul is well known here in Australia as a document maker, film producer, and you can Google him under Gaia Film Productions. The other interviews, people like to stay anonymous, which didn't alter the worth of their contributions, I say, and the music was, well, the usual late 60s stuff. By the way, you can Google Kaput X Radio, and that is Kaput with two T's, and you will find a directory page with all my programs. I'm Martin, and you can hear me again with more Kaput Radio.